I think over the past few weeks, we've received such a rich deposit, it's difficult to stand here and then continue with that. So I'm asking that everybody will just open your spiritual ears this morning. And for those who take notes, make sure that you have a pen and paper ready, because I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. The word will speak for itself. What I'm going to speak about, I like to think it's an extension on what Kobus was bringing, and then also what Johan was bringing last week. And so we're just continuing on the on that same line, really. And I'm going to speak on the unfolding plan in the corporate sun. The unfolding plan in the corporate sun. And you know, when Pastor Kobus brought the word, he said the unfolding plan is almost like a flower that's opening. Did you get that? It's almost like a flower and it's opening. And today I want to bring my part in opening that flower even more. And I've tried to really wrap my head around the word that came. And I've listened to the word over and over. And there's really a deep impartation. And sometimes we try and figure these things out with our mind. We try to think it through. But word is spirit. And we receive that word with spirit. See, even our words is spirit. It's clothed in what we call language, but it is spirit. And when we speak, you receive spirit, right? So this unfolding plan, we're seeing it much clearer now than when we did when we first started. Do you agree with me? We're seeing it now clearer than when we started. It's almost like, I don't know if you guys ever built puzzles when you were kids. We used to build puzzles. My mom used to bring boxes of puzzles home, and we'd sit around the dinner table and build these puzzles. And we'd build these puzzles, and what we would do is we would start with the edges, because once you've got the frame, then it's easier to fill in the puzzles in the middle. Now we got a final picture. You see, we do have a final picture, because on the lid of this box, there's the picture that you are building. So we have a final picture, but we are still, yeah, we start starting from the beginning. And I can remember that the five boys sitting there always wanted to be the one putting in the last puzzle. So what we do is we take one puzzle and hide it in our pocket. But all that happened was, at the end of the puzzle, there was five puzzles missing. And then, like, who's going to be the first one to take out the puzzle out of his pocket? So, this is what the unfolding plan is for me. There is a final picture, but we are putting pieces together to one day just get the final picture. Now, we just sang a lot of beautiful songs this morning. It almost hijacked my whole word. Just a lot of beautiful, beautiful songs. And, you know, God is good. And His goodness endures forever. And there is no end to His greatness. And He is the beginning and the end. And His wisdom is immeasurable. He is the great I Am. He's mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Now, when I say all of this, get this picture of God just being sovereign, like we sang, just mighty. This God that created heaven and earth, and God being who He is, still decided that He's going to use us. Still decided that he's going to use us. So what he did was, he invested himself in man. He took himself and he deposited himself in man. The word says, he created us in his likeness and in his image. So God, being who he is, came and just deposited himself in us. So we were created with the ability and capacity to house the incalculable majesty of who God is. Now that is amazing. That is really amazing. It's important to know this because God is building his church. And as we have heard over the last few weeks, that each one of us has a part to play. Each one of us were created with a purpose. There's a plan, a master plan for each one of us. Right? That master plan for your life forms part of the final plan that God has for his church. Because ultimately, God is going to fill all in all. Over the last few weeks and months, we've heard that we've been predestined to adoption as sons before the foundations of the world, that God has a master plan for our lives, and we were urged to remember a time when we were conceived in the mind of God and to run this race with endurance. And I'm telling you, God is going to take his church and just put it on display for the whole world to see. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So we are partakers in this final plan, this unfolding plan. Remember, partakers, not spectators, partakers, participators in this amazing unfolding plan. So we need to be aligned to what God is doing right now. This is not a time to just sit back and relax. Remember what Kuva said, the starting block. A lot of us are still at the starting block. We didn't even start running the race yet. I want to read a scripture today in Philippians 2, from verse 5 to 8. Because whenever we do this, whenever we live out our lives as individuals in the plan of God, we've got a beautiful example of Jesus, our pattern son. So we're going to look at Jesus, our pattern son, and then we will see how we fit in all of this, right? So let's read Philippians 2 from verse 5 to 8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He emptied himself and he humbled himself to a plan that God had before the foundation of this earth. You see, Jesus was the only one that God could send. And God asked, who shall I send? He said, send me. And he emptied himself and he took on the identity of a bondservant. Now imagine this humility. This amazing humility. The same God that created heaven and earth. The same God that holds the world in His hand. The same God that created you and me, that deposited Himself in us. The same God emptied Himself and took on the identity of a bondservant. When He emptied Himself, He literally said, I give up all my privileges. All my privileges that I had in heaven when I was with my Father. I gave up everything so that I can come and lay down my life for you. Everything that He was. And this is the first example that we need to follow, is to empty ourselves. And how do we empty ourselves? By the transformation of the mind. Because this is the thing that stands in the way of coming into the fullness. Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. I did not come to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Clue number two. Right? Whose will are we doing? Are we living to do God's will? Or are we living to kind of have our own programs and things? Doing the will of God should be the attitude of every believer. The true church never represents itself, but only the one who sends them. That's why we are called an apostolic people. Because we don't represent ourselves. We represent the one that sends us. So we don't speak what we want to speak. We speak God's word. We don't do the things that we want to do. We do the will of God. Now the upside of all of this is, we also stand in the authority of who He is. We stand in the authority of God. So we don't live in our own authority, because we've emptied ourselves. And now we only do what we see God is doing. What the reason why He sent us. Right? So we're living life in the authority of God. That is what it means to be an apostolic people. We must subject ourselves to the will of God and submit to Christ. And we must become a bondservant to His will. The word bondservant means love slave. You don't do it for money or anything else. You do it out of love. Love slave. So what is it that God wants to do? And what is this unfolding plan? And what is the final picture? I don't know the answer. I can give one puzzle. In Habakkuk 2 from verse 14, we all know this. It says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. I'm going to read it again. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. God is going to fill the whole earth with His glory. And I believe that that glory is a people. And that people is living out His character and His nature. God will fill this earth with His glory, and He chose us to be the vehicle. Now, in Exodus 33, there's this beautiful story of Moses having a conversation with God. And after this discussion Moses is having with God, he's saying, "Lord, show me your glory." What an amazing thing to ask. "Lord, show me your glory." And of course, God said, "I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to who I will be gracious, and I will have compassion to whom I will have compassion." But He said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in a cliff of a rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back. But my face you will not see." So God explains to him what He's going to do. But then, Exodus 34, God actually comes down and He's doing what He said He will do. And this is God coming and showing His glory to Moses. And it's like in 34 from verse 5 it says, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with Him as He called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of Him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression and sin, yet He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation.'" So what was the glory? God proclaiming His word, proclaiming His nature, proclaiming His character, who He is. And God revealed His glory to Moses, but Moses only saw in part. The reason why Moses only saw in part, because it was only him. The earth were not covered with it. Moses saw it. The rest of the Israelites were down in the valley. They saw Moses' face. It was shining. And they had to put a veil over it because after a while, the signs just go away. But every time when he went back into the presence, then, wham, shining again. But then, we're going to skip a little bit forward to Numbers now. Once again, God just wanted to kill a few of the Israelites, and Moses once again intervened. And Moses actually, in this part, he reminded God of what he said here in Exodus 34, of who he is, his character and his nature. And then Numbers 14, 20-21, God says this to Moses. "So the Lord said, 'I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord.'" So now, for the first time, God is telling Moses, "It's not only going to be for you, Moses. I'm going to fill the whole earth with my glory." And then in different other parts in the Bible, Psalms 57. "Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth." Psalm 72. "And blessed be His glorious name forever, and may the whole earth be filled with His glory." Psalms 108. "For your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth." And then, of course, we get to Habakkuk, and then we just get a very nice picture. "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea." Now, we're going to skip forward and then we're getting to John, the book of John, and we're going to read from John chapter 1. Remember, Quibus said, at the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You need to know that by now. But then in John 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So now is the first time that we actually see it is not just God showing His glory. Now all of a sudden the glory came in the form of a man. We behold His glory. And in Hebrews 1 from verse 1 to 3, Hebrews 1 from verse 1 to 3, I'm going to read you an amazing scripture. We've heard it so many times, but it just opened to me on a whole new level. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He, this is Jesus, and He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purifications for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. What does that mean? It means that something is radiating. Something is radiating. It means there's a source and this is radiating. It's like the moon. You know, the moon doesn't really shine. Doesn't have the ability to shine. But it reflects the sun. So when you see a beautiful moon, say, wow, look how bright the moon is. The moon is just reflecting the sun. So the moon became the radiance of the sun, right? Jesus became the radiance of God. So He's reflecting who God is. And in that, He's an exact representation of the one who sent Him. Are we getting a better picture now where I'm going to? Right. We need to get this because I'm telling you, this is mind-blowing. So, radiance means that there is a source from where it comes from. And radiance or radiation always goes outwards. Right? It moves away from the source into the environment. This is what radiation does. And that is why Jesus say in John chapter 6, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of my Father. He's radiating that will. He's doing what God is telling him to do. So the glory that that John is talking about is God's glory. God is the source and the Son is radiating the character and nature of God. It was the Father's glory that was made available to the Son. Now, let's keep forward again. We're getting to John 17 now from verse 20. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed when He was speaking to His Heavenly Father. And we've heard this prayer hundreds of times from this very pulpit. John 17, from verse 20 to 23. And Jesus is praying, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, even as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you have loved me. Now, come on, that's mind-blowing. Wow. That right there is the picture of the corporate son. What Jesus did was giving what he received. He invested into us so that we can become one. We come into this oneness so that the world will see, so that the world will believe. This glory that Jesus had was transferred to us. The responsibility now rests on us to live out this glory. Jesus did his part. He's not coming back to do it again. It is the corporate son, that needs to take up their place. And we cannot do it in our own will. Don't try and do it in our own authority. We've been deputized. We've been sent by the King of Kings. We are an apostolic people. How we live our lives will be the reflection of God's glory. The things that we do, the things that we say, wherever we are, will be the reflection of God's glory. Our lives must echo the words of Jesus when he said, "He who sees me has seen the Father." This will be the clearest picture that the corporate son can demonstrate of the Word made flesh. He who sees me has seen the Father. Not only is God in us, but we must also allow God to live through us. Did you get that? God don't just want to live in you. He wants to be manifested through you. The world needs to see this. Let's go to Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. I hope you are getting this. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Do you understand that it is Christ that is going to be revealed? When people look at us, they won't see us, they will see Christ. He is the pattern son. Please understand when I say that we don't live to do things for God, but it is God who lives in us to do His good will. As soon as we try and do things for God, it normally ends up in religion. But if God lives through us, then He is being revealed. The corporate son is the radiance of God's glory. This is the heart of God, that He wants to be accurately manifested in His people. When Christ is revealed in the corporate Son, then the world will see a clear manifestation of God's glory in the manner we express His mercy, His grace, His long-suffering, His goodness and truth, His forgiveness and His judgment and His authority. Then they will get a picture of that, that God spoke to Moses about. Oh God, just please accelerate Your word in our hearts. I really speak that the limitations of our understanding will just be blown away. Just be blown away. That we will see what this is. Now I'm going to take it up a notch. I'm almost done, believe me. But I'm going to take it up a notch. I want you to go with me, so please stay with me. We understand that God will fill the earth with His glory, but that is not the final picture. The flower is opening some more. Ultimately, God wants to fill all in all. All in all. And I'm going to read Ephesians 1:18-23, and I want you to go with me. Ephesians 1:18-23. And I'm telling you, this is going to blow your mind. Listen to it with your spiritual ears. This is going to blow your mind. I'm telling you now. From verse 18, Ephesians 1, from verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet, and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Now, come on. The church, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. How is He going to do it? Through the church, the corporate Son. I'm really trying to wrap my mind around this. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, and then I'm going to read it out of the Message. I want you to get this picture, right? So out of the Amplified from verse 22, you can just listen now. And He put all things under His feet and has appointed Him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of Him who makes everything complete and who fills everything, everywhere with Himself. That is Amplified. Now we go into the Message. And I'm going to read from verse 20 in the Message. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised Him from the dead and set Him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments. No name and no power exempt from His rule. And not just for this time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything, At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which He speaks and acts, by which He fills everything with His presence. That is amazing. That is really mind-blowing. And I hope you guys are getting this, because I'm excited. I don't think we fully understand the magnitude of God's plan for His church. The full measure of God lives in us, in the church, in the corporate son. Remember what I said earlier, we were created with the ability and capacity to house the incalculable majesty of who God is. But He don't just want to live in us. He wants to live through us. The I Am is busy coming forth in the true sons. And this means the death of me and the life of Him in me. Now, do you understand that God's plan does not include an inactive church? Do you see it now? Do you see that there's participation required from us? Okay, now I'm going to read Ephesians 3 from verse 8. In the New American Standard, Ephesians 3, 8 to 12. This is Paul speaking here. It says, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, to bring and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for the ages was hidden in God, who created all things." Now verse 10, listen to verse 10. "So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places." Let me just read till there. "The manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church." Now, you know, all know that scripture, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities in heavenly places, right? So this scripture should give you a new understanding on spiritual warfare. "So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places." This is blowing my mind. It is really just blowing my mind. This immeasurable, incalculable riches of Christ, who is the Logos, as we've heard, the Logos, the Word made flesh, was given to us, the Rhema, in order that we can make known the manifold wisdom of God to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. The corporate Son, being the radiance of His glory, will display His manifold wisdom to the whole universe. This is how God is going to fill all in all, with a corporate Son. Nothing will be excluded from His plan. Angels and even demons will know about who God really is by looking at a church. Do you understand how extremely important it is for the church to come to the full stature in Christ? We cannot continue to dwell in our own little paneled houses, while the house of the Lord lies in ruins. You know, just waking up in the morning and going to bed at night, this is not what God had. This is not God's plan. Coming to church on Sundays is not God's plan. Being a good person, not God's plan. He wants to show Himself through His church. He wants to be revealed through His church. He wants to be manifested through His church. And the whole universe will see who God is when they look at us. God is raising a standard, and that standard is His corporate Son. The corporate Son will be like a rushing stream which the breath of the Lord drives. A rushing stream. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Heavenly Father wants to put His sons on display and to fill all with His all. Who He is. I'm going to read the last scripture, and I really want you to listen to this. I'm reading out of the message here, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 to 10. So it's quite a long part, but listen to it, and then I'm done. Then we can have coffee. So for now, listen to this. Companions, as we are in this work with you, we beg you, please don't squander one bit of this marvelous life God has given us. God reminds us, I heard your call in the nick of time. The day you needed me, I was there to help. Well, now is the right time to listen. The day to be helped. Don't put it off. Don't frustrate the straight God's work by showing up late, throwing a question mark over everything we're doing. Our work as God's servants gets validated or not in the details. People are watching us as we stay at our post, alertly, unswervingly, in hard times, tough times, bad times, when we're beaten up, jailed, and mobbed, working hard, working late, working without eating, with pure heart, clear head, steady hand, in gentleness, holiness, and honest love. When we're telling the truth, and when God's showing His power, when we're doing our best setting things right, when we're praised, when we are blamed, slandered and honored, true to our word, though distrusted, ignored by the world, but recognized by God, terrifically alive, though rumored to be dead, beaten within an inch of our lives, but refusing to die, emerge in tears, yet always filled with deep joy, living on handouts, yet enriching many, having nothing, having it all. God living in us is just the starting point. God living through us is the journey. So let go and let God have His way in our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Father, I speak, Lord. I speak, Lord, that You will come, Father, and blow away the limitations of our understanding. That You will come, Father, and transform our minds. That You will come, Father, and bring us into an accurate alignment with who You are. Father, that we will see clearly, Father, the plans that You have for us. Lord, that we will be found busy, Father, with you. Found busy, Father, with your work. And I bless, Father, I bless this word to our hearts. I seal this word to our hearts. And I pray an increase, Father. An increase, Father, to what you have started. An increase, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.